this episode of the Future Car Podcast, Nan Kochar, VP of Automotive and Transportation Industries, and I, Connor Pike, a thought leadership team writer, continue a series of conversations on autonomous vehicles and how they will shape the future of mobility. As the automotive industry moves into the future, automotive companies are faced with the challenge of designing increasingly complex vehicles to satisfy consumer demands for greater automation, convenience, and connectivity. AVs are only expected to exacerbate this trend of growing vehicle complexity. This complexity becomes particularly challenging as the life cycle moves into the verification and validation phase. How do companies test and ensure that autonomous vehicles are safe and effective? To discuss the vehicle simulation and testing, Nand and I are joined by Robert Lohmann, Business Development Director of AVs at Siemens Digital Industries Software. So welcome, Robert, and thanks for joining Nand and I today. We're really excited to have you on. Just to get started, I'm hoping, can you, give us and the listeners a brief summary of your experience in simulation and autonomous vehicles and ADAS systems?
Thanks for having me today. So my history with autonomous vehicles goes back to, 1999, when I started at a company called Frog doing automated guided vehicles in factories. And that quickly became the same technology applied for automated vehicles outdoors. And where we thought at that time they were called automated people movers, people in that industry were looking at us very oddly because they said, what you're doing is not a people mover because that's guided by some form of rail. And it was only until the Society of Automotive Engineers came with levels 1 through 5 that people all of a sudden said, you're a level 4 autonomous vehicle. So that's where my history is at. It became a separate company called To Get There in 2007. We went with, two founders of the company to ultimately 70 people, multiple vehicles deployed in multiple projects around the world, and selling the company to ZF. And at that time, I decided I was ready for a new challenge and came to Siemens to apply that everything I had learned in deploying these type of vehicles in projects around the world into tools that could assist other companies in doing exactly the same thing.
Excellent. Well, Nan, to kick off our discussion today, it seems that virtual methods of vehicle testing and verification by way of simulation have really grown in usage in recent years in the auto industry. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what is driving this growth and what implication will it have on the verification and validation process for an autonomous vehicle?
Yeah, thank you, Connor, for having me back on the podcast. As you know, there's tremendous innovation going on and the transformation in the automotive and transportation industry. And one of the key driver is the cycle time reduction for end-to-end. And virtual methods of doing product development and verification and testing is really the only game in town, in my mind, from the perspective of continuing to shrink the timing, as well as reducing the cost it takes and to improve the quality. Now, having said that, to answer your question, the growth, there are several factors of that simulation. So today, simulation is enabled by all of the computing technologies available and also the type of simulation, type of physics which can be solved is continues to increase the accuracy of that. So I think those are some of the reasons the usage of simulation has become real, because all you need now is a physical testing for correlation purposes, and then you can leverage the simulation technologies to make real decisions, whether it's a product decisions or manufacturing decisions, in light of the digital twin of the product and the manufacturing. Now, for when it comes to implication on verification and validation process for AV, as you know, to certify an autonomous vehicle or ADAS features on a vehicle, you would need millions of miles of physical testing, which we know is not possible from a timing perspective, and also some of the scenarios which can't be produced in a physical testing environment. So simulation plays a critical and the most important role, because now you can create those scenarios and validate some of the things which are not even possible. And you can also create different variations of those possibilities of those scenarios. And that's why it has become critical, the role of simulation, especially in the ADAS features and the AV development.
Yeah, I agree completely. I can echo the sentiment about the million of kilometers that you need to drive. And the crucial part there becomes that if at some point you encounter a scenario that the software can't handle, and you may need to make changes to what you've set up, that you actually need to start at zero again with the driving of the million kilometers. So whether it's million miles or kilometers, miles is even worse than kilometers, right? It means that if you do virtual testing and you're able to avoid running into a scenario which you could have anticipated that you would encounter on the testing on public roads, that you're actually able to get through that process much quicker. So virtual testing and actual hand in hand, and you can't see one separate from the other.
Yeah. Now, Robert, can you talk about where the virtual scenarios that drive these simulations come from? It's fascinating for me to experience these things. Now, how are those created? And how do you ensure that these scenarios are representative of the real world? Now, is artificial intelligence involved in these processes today?
So that's one way to approach it, right? Even if you use artificial intelligence to generate scenarios, it's to a degree still limited by the imagination of the engineers that designed the software allows for these scenarios to be created. And I think that as human beings, we have one unique ability, and that's our creativity. And the creativity sometimes means that when we're driving down the road, we do something that is very smart and avoids an accident. And in other circumstances, the creativity also leads us to do something very stupid and actually cause a situation on the road that you've never seen before. And I think that anybody that ever drives a car regularly sees something on the road that they haven't seen before. And I think that when you're trying to roll out these systems to the world, is that the likelihood of you encountering a scenario that you haven't seen before is very large if you deploy it over a whole fleet. And it's very small if it's just on a single vehicle running around in one particular town on a typical section of streets. So trying to solve that puzzle is one of the main challenges of the industry. And there's different thoughts about how to go about it, whether it's synthetic, whether it's using AI, whether it's through massive data recording with all the vehicles that are deployed on the road. The industry as a general craves all the data, because the data is ultimately what is going to drive the developments.
So on a similar front, how do you think the development of industry standards will play into the future of virtual vehicle testing and simulation technology? Does that have a role to play in like scenario generation or those things?
Yeah, in fact, the industry standards will definitely play a very important role, because as you know, at the end of the day, vehicles need to be certified if we're talking about ADAS features or autonomous vehicles. There needs to be some set standards, since we have a vast variety of producers of these features all over the globe. Now, the standards will help streamline consistency and acceptance of the vehicle certification based on the virtual methods versus having to run the physical testing all the time. So I can speak from my safety experience that standards play an important role when they're initially developing and maturing. For example, if you look at the crash safety today, the NHTSA in America has developed, and obviously all over the globe, Euro NCAP, those standards were developed for certification with a level of maturity, building confidence in those. So today, there's very few things you can take all the way into certification in the safety arena purely on the simulation methods, but that's where you have to continue to evolve to prove the correlation between the physical testing and the virtual testing with the authorities who have to approve of those standards, and then ultimately get to a pure virtual testing environment, which we also call all the way up to a virtual homologation that the authorities all over the globe can stick to those standards. So that plays a very important role. I think Robert touched on that, bringing the physical and virtual data together over a period of time, you grow that correlation and you rely on the virtual analysis more and more.
To add to that, if you look at all the research that has been done into when autonomous vehicles will be deployed on a large scale, and whether it's autonomous vehicles or ADAS features, there's three pillars that are crucially important to them being introduced successfully. That's public acceptance, the technology itself, and the regulations. And where in the automotive industry, you sometimes still see a little bit of tension between technology and regulations, with people that are producing the technology saying that the regulatory framework is not in place yet. And at the same time, seeing the regulations that are the technology is not being able to completely comply with it yet. So that it's still a challenging task or a challenging target to accomplish. You notice a little bit of tension. And I think in older industries, where you look at rail and air aviation, there's less tension between regulations and technology because there's no competition on safety. And when it comes to ADAS and AVs, it feels like these features are distinguishing marks that could be purchasing reasons for customers for a certain brand of automobile. So there still is a little bit more of tension. What you don't want to do is that tension to become so high that you break the relationship between technology and regulations, and that both of them actually break the relationship with public acceptance, because it means that inevitably the introduction to the market will be delayed. The standards should help balance out the tension that there is between technology and regulations. And those standards play a guiding role, if you will, for companies like Siemens that are developing tools to accommodate processes within the developers that ensure that the standards are in alignment with the technology that they're developing and the other way around. So I think standards are perhaps even driving the speed with which we will see all these technologies coming to the road.
Fascinating. Okay, well, so then let's assume that you have a robust set of scenarios that you're going to use to test your vehicle design. I think, you know, kind of the next step is how can companies take those scenarios and represent their vehicle in a virtual environment with sufficient detail to, you know, to actually, I think, test and verify and validate the vehicle?
Yeah, I'll start with that. So, good question. Today, companies are doing virtual vehicle development, let's say a vehicle dynamics models, which is built of all elements of the physical vehicle or the design part of it, and then combine that with the software and the controls for running the vehicle dynamics of that vehicle, just as one example. Now, when you have created a scenario models, as you mentioned, now you need to integrate these two things, the detailed vehicle models playing in that scenario models, and you'll be running these vehicles, virtual vehicles, in those scenarios. Now, obviously, you have to continue to increase the fidelity of these models based on what scenarios you are playing. For example, for autonomous vehicles, you have to do the lane merging feature part of it. That's a combination of your steering operations and the handling operations of the vehicle being played in a scenario which you have generated, let's say the coming off ramp from a freeway and then merging into the traffic. Obviously, the critical part in there is also creating those critical scenarios, what we call unknown, unsafe scenarios, through the virtual simulations, and bringing these two things, the vehicle models and the scenario models, together to make the final assessment that whether it's a safe operation or not. So I think this is how these two things will come together, these two environments will come together to give the ultimate, so to say, certification or validity of the operations of the vehicle.
In addition to that, it also depends on the intent of the simulation. So there's different things that you can actually use the simulation for. Sufficient detail depends on whether you are validating sensory systems or whether you're verifying path planning. For the latter, which is think, if you will, the accuracy is less relevant, as you are assuming that your sensory systems are working perfectly. And this is very achievable today. When you're looking at validation of the perception algorithm, it's much more difficult. That's the sense part. FISC-based sensors, also in simulation, with validation of the measurements, are absolutely essential to make sure that there's a good correlation between what you're seeing in the real world and what you're seeing in your simulation program. So that's why we also do tests to see that what we're actually trying to replicate in the physics-based environment actually matches with the real-world measurements. This is increasingly complex, but eventually you have to be able to do that all to be able to also do the physics-based sensors validation in a simulated environment. It's not as easy as perhaps verifying the path planning. I think for sensing, simulation will, at least for the foreseeable future, be supporting the real-world testing for the path planning. So the think part, a simulation could actually be leading.
So Robert and Nan, thank you guys so much for your time today. You know, as we're wrapping up, I just want to give you guys a chance to share any final thoughts or takeaways you'd like the listener to leave this episode with. So Robert, do you want to go ahead and start?
Thanks for having us, and thanks for the interesting discussion. One aspect that we perhaps touched on a little, but we didn't go into a lot of detail, but if there are people listening that are interested in more about the unknown, unsafe scenarios towards which Nand mentioned, I think the methodology that Siemens now has, which is patented, has a lot of promise towards the future and actually discovering these unknown, unsafe scenarios and making sure that in the real-life deployments that developers are doing, they're less likely to run into an unknown, unsafe scenario that they weren't expecting, making that testing a lot easier. So I would definitely recommend anybody listening in to reach out, find out more about critical scenario creation, because I believe that, what Siemens is bringing to the market there is truly unique.
Yeah, I'll add to that. I think, Connor, from my perspective, simulation is the only way going forward for the companies to continue to innovate, because when we are offering these advanced features and functions and autonomy of the vehicle, there's many scenarios to be delivered from a business perspective in a vehicle development. So the speed at which we can leverage simulation to play those business cases is absolutely the only way, in my mind, of delivering innovations on an ongoing basis. Now, having said that, of course, it is equally important when you bring any new features, it needs to be proven with correlation, and that's where the physical testing of the real world comes together. And as Robert mentioned, we are in a unique position from Siemens, bringing real and virtual together to build confidence in the ADAS features development, as well as the full autonomy delivery, whether it's automated guided vehicles in the factories Robert talked about in the beginning, or the autonomous vehicles. So that's absolutely critical. And we are in a good position to move the industry in that direction. Thank you for your time.
Excellent. Well, and I'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in once again to the Future Car Podcast. We hope that you'll come back and hang out with us soon.